This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I want to talk to you today from the subject of finding balance in life. Finding balance in life. How many in the room know that we live in a very unbalanced world? You got a very fast-paced world. Everything's competing for your time and for your energy and those things like that. You know, life can be busy. How many know life is busy? And you have to learn, you got it, how to prioritize so that way you don't miss out on what's most important in your life. And that's the bottom line. Too many people live stressful, unfulfilling lives running after something or someone that was not important. You got it? And so you have to make sure that you follow God, that you make sure that His voice is the loudest voice in your life. And at the end of the day, just learning to live God's way. The Bible talks a lot about living God's way. And there's so many different scriptures I could have brought to you about how do I live God's way and what do I need to do and those kind of things. I thought, you know, maybe giving you a scripture on, you know, showing you that He came, that you are supposed to live a good life. And then I said, well, maybe I'll give you a scripture on, you know, making sure that His voice is the loudest voice in your life. But I chose Micah, the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. I'm going to read it to you in the Message translation. It says, but He's already made it plain how to live and what to do. What God is looking for in men and women, it's quite simple. The writer says, do what is fair and just to your neighbor. In other words, treat people the way you want to be treated. Right? You got it. Have integrity. Let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Don't be mean to folk. You got it. Don't lie on people. Come on, somebody, right? But like, just be good people, you got it? And do what you're supposed to do. So he says, just be fair. You got to do what is fair and just to your neighbor. Then he says, be compassionate and loyal in your love. And, you know, it's important that we're compassionate and loyal, right? Sometimes I meet a lot of people that are compassionate but not loyal, or I meet a lot of people that are loyal that are not compassionate, but you have to bring them together. Does that make sense? You got it? Because there's certain people I know that are loyal, but they're mean. Praise the Lord. And then, what we have to do is learn how to bring compassion and loyalty together. He says, and don't take yourself too seriously. You got it. He says, take God seriously. Sometimes we take ourselves too seriously, and, you know, even in situations where we did something and we really didn't mean to do it, and if you're not careful, you'll go and ask God to forgive you. He's already forgiven you. It's 6 months later. You're still beating yourself up. And the writer says, don't take yourself so seriously. He says, learn how to take God seriously. Take His word seriously. Take His grace seriously. Take His forgiveness in your life seriously. Take the fact that every day that you wake up, He gives you a brand new day with brand new mercies. He said, if you're going to take anything serious in life, take those things seriously, because you serve a God that's never going to leave you, that's never going to forsake you, that's always going to be with you. And even if you mess up, all you have to do is confess your sins, and He's faithful and just to forgive you for all of your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And that's what makes God God, because nobody can do that but God, right? And so I really wanted to give you just 4 keys today that are just real simple keys. You got it? These are just real basic lesson, real simple keys. But if we're not careful, we won't apply these simple keys in our lives, so that way we can just really have the balance in our lives, all right? And so we're going to jump into it. Are y'all ready to jump into it? All right, before we jump into it, we didn't do this yet. We've got to look down our row. If you're sitting in the middle, you have to look both ways, smile, wave, make sure everybody's doing good, make sure nobody's sleeping, because some people sleep with their eyes wide open. All right, everybody good on your row? Okay, all right, I won't ask if you know their name, all right? All right, but during meet and greet, if somebody's on your row and you don't know their name, you ought to know their name, all right? Oh, no. Everybody say number one. Number one, make the choice to be happy every day. Did you hear what I said?
Yes.
I said, make the
choice.
Make the what?
Choice.
Yeah, because happiness is a choice that we actually choose ahead of time. So we cannot allow circumstances, situations, trouble, things that take us by surprise to cause us to determine if we're going to be happy or not, to cause us to determine if we're going to have joy or not. You have to make the choice to be happy every day. And how many real people in the room will tell you some days that's difficult? But even though it might be difficult, you got it, faith doesn't make things easy. It just makes them possible. And so what you have to do is make the choice every day. Every day when I wake up, I've been saying the same thing for years. I get out of bed, you got it, and I'm like, Father, this is the day that you have made. I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. And I start declaring my day. I thank you for peace today. I thank you for prosperity today. I thank you for favor in my life. I thank you for nothing missing, nothing lacking. Today's going to be a great day. It's going to be my best day yet in Jesus' name. Oh, that's just a whole lot of talk. You're going to have what you say. So you got to watch what you say. Does that make sense? So you have to make the choice. You know, you already know you're going to work and there's some craziness at work. If you're not careful, the enemy will talk you out of being happy. Because he'll put all these crazy thoughts in your mind. And some of those thoughts might even be, you know, factual. You know, something's going on at work. But watch this. You cannot allow an environment to predicate or to predict how you're going to be in life. You got it. So happiness is a choice that we choose ahead of time. How many in the room know that our attitude will not take care of itself? Right? Life is 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you respond to it. Paul is in chains. He is in prison. You got it. He's being wrongly accused. He's not doing anything wrong. He gets the opportunity to go and speak to King Agrippa. And the first thing that he says is, I'm choosing to be happy. He says, I think myself happy. In other words, even though I'm here, even though it's wrong, even though I haven't done anything wrong, you got it. He says, I think myself happy. And there's times that you have to just think yourself happy. Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and the first verse says, therefore, since we are surrounded by Hebrews 12 and what? There you go. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders. So in the KJV, it says the weight and sin. Here it says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that do so easily entangle us. Sometimes it's not sin. Sometimes it's just weight. Weight of a situation you got going on, weight of a circumstance going on, weight of somebody lying on you, weight of somebody just being mean to you for no reason. Y'all probably ain't never had anybody just be mean to you for no reason. You probably never had anyone just lie on you for no reason. So I'm not talking to you, but the Bible says that you have to throw off those things. And that's not always the easiest thing to do. Because what happens is, you know, poll in the room, how many in the room at some point in your life, anyone ever treated you wrong? Everybody in the room, right? Yeah. And so what happens is the Bible says to do what? Throw it off. Throw it off. Right? You going to get it, Ron? Yeah, Ron wanted to get it. Ron said, I can't have that. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. So, you know, but the Bible says when someone does you wrong, when somebody mistreats you, listen, I don't know about you, but even to this day, even very, very recently, I wanted to stick up for myself, say, no, you shouldn't lie on me like that. I've never done anything but be good to you, you know, but this is what I really realized. Can I be real honest with you? Can I be real honest with you? And I know you're not going to like this, but I have to tell myself, nobody cares. Amen. Nobody cares. Amen. So you know what I do? Throw it off. Thank you, Ron. So Ron's like, Pastor, I ain't gonna give it back to you next time, Pastor. And even when you throw it off, there's still emotions that are tied into it. But when you throw it off, you got to make it up in your mind that I can't focus on the situation. I got to look unto Jesus, the very author and finisher of my faith, because he is my joy. He is my peace. Come on, somebody. He is my goodness. He is my everything. He is my all in all. And so if I just, listen, if I keep my mind stayed on Jesus, everything will be all right. Does that make sense? And while you're doing that, start having a little talk with Jesus to silence all the other noise to make sure his voice is the loudest voice in your life. So the writer says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that do so easily entangle us. So sometimes it's weight and sometimes it's sin. And we got to throw them both off. If I'm caught up in something, or if you're caught up in something that you don't need to do, you got to just get rid of it. Because sin will take you places you don't want to go, leave you longer than you intended on staying, and make you pray prayers you should not pray. Lord, if you just get me out of this situation, I won't ever ask you to do anything for me again. See, I don't pray prayers like that because I figure I'm going to need him again. You got it. It's only the 8th of the month. You understand what I'm saying? It's 31 days in this month. You got it? And so watch what he says. And let us run with perseverance. KJV says patience, the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, despising his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Watch what verse 3 says. Consider. Do what? Consider him, Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So, yeah, I know people have done you wrong, but people did Jesus wrong. And he was the perfect sacrifice. He that knew no sin became sin so that you and I could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Jesus hadn't done anything to anybody. You got it. He was in heaven at the right hand of the throne of the Father, sipping on heavenly iced tea. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. Just doing what he, you know, but God needed a plan to redeem. So he sends the perfect lamb, the perfect sacrifice. And the Bible said people, they scorn him, they mock him, they beat him, they lied on him, they bruise him. So Jesus says, when you're going through something, consider that. And that what makes it easier to throw it off. You got it, Pastor Pat? I don't need it back. All right. Give the Lord a big hand praise. I got to keep going. I have a lot of time. I got to keep going because I have more points, but I just really want to make sure that you understand that you cannot allow the enemy to control your emotions based on certain circumstances or situations that you go through. And I'm telling you, I'm not trying to make it like it's just easy. You understand? Sometimes it's a fight, but it's a good fight. We fight the good fight of faith. Why? We know that if we stay in the fight, we are going to win, right? And so happiness is a choice that you have to make ahead of time. You know, y'all remember the song coming up, you know, this joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me. And if the world didn't give it to me, the world can't take it away, right? So in other words, you didn't light my candle. So since you didn't light my candle, you can't blow it out. I got my mind made up. I got my heart fixed. Come on, somebody. For God I'll live and for God I'll die. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. I'm going to keep loving people. I'm going to keep giving. I'm going to keep making a difference. I'm going to keep doing the right thing because it's the right thing to do. And in the end, I always win. Does that make sense? And that's how you have to live your life, all right? And so you, number one, you have to make the choice to be happy every single day. All right, everybody say number two. Y'all getting some out of this? All right, develop a high appreciation for life. Develop a high appreciation for life, all right? I told you earlier, you woke up this morning and somebody didn't. That alone is a reason to have a high appreciation for life. Right? You know, and let's not forget, I was talking about a testimony service years ago. He woke me up this morning. What's the next part? Started me on my way, right? So he gave me the strength and the ability, right? Have the activity of my limbs. You got it. You got it. What's another one? Blood is running warm in my vein, right? Right. So he's giving me the motion and everything that I need. And so what happens is I have to develop a high appreciation for life the moment I wake up because I realize I got up this today and somebody didn't. So I'm ahead of the game. Does that make sense? And so what happens is it's always about seeing the glass half full instead of seeing it half empty. It's about believing God even in tough times, believing God even in challenging times, even believing God even in the worst time of your life that he's going to work out everything for your good. And that even though things have taken you by surprise, they have not taken God by surprise. And he is the author and the finisher of your faith. And if you just stay in faith, he's going to work everything out. The problem is we think we're the ones that's got to fix the situation. You got it? And when we think we have to fix the situation is really too big for us, and that's what causes us to get frustrated. Because I can't fix this. You got it? I can't fix him. I can't fix her. Sure can't. Right? But what you can do is you can give it to Jesus and you can let him fix it. Does that make sense? And so you got to understand that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what the situation is, God is with you and you cannot fail. God is with you and you cannot fail. Everybody say, God is with me. I cannot fail. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yeah, so God is with you and you cannot fail, all right? And so you have to have the right attitude. 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and the 8th verse, Paul says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Everybody say, pressure, yes. Stress, no. No, you got to refuse to be stressed out. You got it. Y'all didn't talk back to me. Why not? You got to refuse to be stressed out. Like, it's a choice that you have to make. I'm not going to let anything stress me out. Does that make sense? You got it? You know, I don't really wear my hair. You got it? This is my do. You understand what I'm saying? But if I was to wear my hair, you know, some of y'all would be like, Pastor, you sure got some grays. That's not stress. Amen. That's wisdom. That's maturity. Come on, somebody. That's a long resume of winning in life. Everybody say pressure, yes. Stress, no. He says, so we're troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but that's why he don't cut his hair. Y'all stay out my business. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And so you have to stop looking at the bad in life and start looking at the good in life, knowing that all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And so even if you're in a really bad situation, because you love God, he's going to work out everything for your good. Does that make sense? Because what the enemy is after is your faith. He knows he can't whip you, so he tries to wear you out. Well, Pastor, he's doing a good job. You got to fight back. Come on, somebody. A lot of y'all are, whoo, praise. No, come on now. I got to help you regain your focus. No, he knows he can't wear you out. You got it? So you got to fight back. Everybody say fight back. What you are facing is not about your inadequacies. You got it? If you are facing it, you can handle it. 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, I gave it to you last week. I'm going to give it to you again. No test or temptation that comes your way is beyond the course of what others have had to face. Other people have gone through exactly what you're going through, and they've gotten through it. So that's good news. Because if they got through it, that means you can get through it. I love this next part. Y'all got to watch this next part because I'm going to need you to help me in this next part. All you need to remember is what, class? That God will what? He'll do what? God will never let you down. The Bible says never. KJV says never. You understand what I'm saying? Do you know what the word never means? Never. Like, he has this commitment that I don't care what happened to your life, good, bad, ugly, if you did it, if it was your fault, if it was your mistake, it doesn't matter. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm going to help you. If everybody else walk away, just stand still and see my salvation in your life, because I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to break your heart. I'm always going to be there to help you. What a friend we have in Jesus. So God is never going to let you down. So in your toughest moment, when things seem like they're at their worst, God is still at his best. Because he is the Lord and he changes not. So he's not just at his best when we're on high. He's at his best even when we feel like we're low. Does that make sense? This young man is teaching up in here, whether you know it or not. He says he'll never let you be pushed past your limit. He'll always be there to help you come through it. So you got to throw it off. Everybody say throw it off. All right, in the back, let's put up number one. Let's make sure we're reviewing. Okay, class, what's number one? All right, let's put up number two. Class, what's number two? All right, and y'all say number three? Find something positive in everything and everyone. Find something positive in everything and everyone. Pastor, I find something positive in everything, but I'm not sure I can find something positive in everyone. That's a hard task. That's a hard task. Let me just help you. God loves everyone, even the ones you don't like. God loves everybody, even the folk you don't fool with. Or maybe they don't want to fool with you. Come on, somebody. Yeah, yeah. I got some people I love. They don't want to fool me. I ain't did nothing wrong to them. I can't, you know, I can't do nothing about that. But what I do is I see the good in them because I know God loves them. And the good that you can see in everybody is that Jesus paid an incredible price for everybody, and they have value. You understand? And you have to learn to see the value in people, that everybody has value. I mean, the one that hurts you, they still have value. And that is why the Bible teaches us to pray for those that misuse us. That's why the Bible teaches us to pray, you know, for our enemies. You got it. Even if they're the last person on your prayer list, you still got to pray for them. Right? So find something positive in everything and everyone. Learn to how to bring out the best in people. All right? Learn to only think on things that are positive. Learn to, Pastor, I just met this guy. I don't know this guy. We were at Food Line. I didn't do anything wrong to this man. He just cussed me out. Is there anything I can find good about him? Did he have nice sneakers on? Like, find something good about it. You understand what I'm saying? You got it. So, you know, and that's funny, but what I'm trying to do is get you to train your brain, you got it, to always think positive. It's a discipline, and it's something that I try to do all the time. I'm not acting like I'm the perfectionist in it. You got it? I mess up like everybody else, but I work hard on training my brain to always find the positive in everything and in everybody. Does that make sense? You got to do it. You got it. You know, don't you know, and so that's why I never try to be critical. I never, if you notice, you know, about me, how many of y'all been with me for at least 6 months? Okay. All right. You got it. So if you've been around a while, you'll know that when I teach the word, you know, I just teach the word. I'm not critical. I'm not condescending. I'm only getting my wife to say amen. Am I critical and condescending? We're going to try this over. Okay. I try my best to always teach, you know, lessons that are full of joy and peace. Far as I know, when I teach, I'm not condescending. I'm not critical. I don't go off on nobody. I mean, as far as I know, you know, a minute ago, y'all had me thinking, yo, that was a part of the lesson I just knew I was going to get y'all to talk back to me. I thought I was a nice guy up until about 30 seconds ago. And so, but I really, I do that on purpose. You got it? You know, like when you even, you know, I don't really post a whole lot on social media, but when you do see my posts, it's encouraging. Isn't that right? Yeah. And why? Because you get enough of all the other stuff. You didn't come to church for someone to beat you down and come on, somebody. You came to get the word of life. You got it? That Zoe, you got it? That will build you up to make you want to go out of this room, regardless of what you're going through, and go be ready to go bear hunting with a switch. You understand what I'm saying? You got it? That one of that's right, Pastor. One of us going to take 1,000. Two of us going to put 10,000. I'm heading straight for the woods. You better come back over here just a little bit. Philippians 4:8. What's that first word? What is it? What is it? Finally. After I've said everything I've got to say, I need you to listen to this. You got it? I need you to listen to this. You got it? Finally, brothers and sisters, whatsoever things are, true. Whatsoever is, noble. Whatsoever is, right. Whatsoever is, pure. Whatsoever is, lovely. Whatever is, if, watch this, he says, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, he says, think on these things. So he says, don't think on the things that are not noble, that are not right, that are not pure, that are not lovely, that are not admirable, that are not excellent, that are not praiseworthy. He says, but if they are, think on those things. And I'm telling you, you have to train your brain to do that. Does that make sense? You got it. And you can do it, all right? You got it. You know, have you ever met a mean Christian? Yes. Yeah. It's not nice meeting mean Christians, right? So what do you learn about meeting mean Christians? The number one thing you should learn when you meet a mean Christian is don't be one. Amen. Don't be one. You got it. That's the bottom line. That's the main thing you should learn. Don't be one. All right. In the back. Let's put up point number one. What is it, class?
Make the choice that you have every day.
All right, in the back, number two. What is it, class? All right. Number three, what is it, class?
Find something positive.
Okay, and number four, let's go home, maestro. Turn everything over to God. Turn everything over to God. Do you not know that there are times in a 24-hour period that you might have to turn things over to God 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 times? Because what happens is you'll turn it over to God at 8 a.m. and say, Lord, I got to go on with my day. Lord, I'm giving it to you. And do you not know the enemy will try to come back around 9:30 and give it back to you? And you have to have the discipline. No, I'm turning this thing over to God. I'm not going to let it fool my day or mess up my day. I'm not going to get all emotional. I'm going to just give it back to God. You give it back to God at 9:30. Here come the devil at 9:45. He gave you an hour and a half last time. And what you've got to do is you've got to learn to keep giving it to God and keep giving it to God. 1 Peter 5 and 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he cared for you. The Bible teaches us that we should, that men are to always pray. And y'all know that that's not gender specific, men and women as the case may be, are to always pray and not faint. And Philippians 4 and 6 in closing says, this is a powerful verse, and you have to try your best to master this verse, especially those first four words. What do those first four words say? All right. Now, I don't normally make you talk to your neighbors too much, but just look at your neighbor and just real nicely, you know, real nice, say, he's talking to you. He's talking to you. All right, now look at your other neighbor, your second choice. I don't know why they're your second choice. Tell him he's talking to you. All right. And all of you all that talk to your neighbors, guess what? I'm talking to you. Don't worry about, come on class, stay with me. Don't worry about
anything.
Instead, pray about
everything.
And that's the key. Don't pray about some things. Pray. Sometimes we don't want to pray about the stuff that makes us mad, that aggravates us. We'll go to God and say, God, help me over here and help me over here. And you want to pray about a situation. You just think about the situation. You just think about the person. You're all mad. You got it. Somebody got to calm you down. But he says, don't worry about anything. But they lied on me. If it's a lie, let it lie. Nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. Did you hear what I said? Nothing by any means shall be able to hurt you. He says, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. You will go through some things in life that don't make sense. Like, Lord, I could see if I did something to make this like I ain't done. It doesn't make sense. But God says, when you do this, you'll experience a peace which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live through Christ Jesus. So what he says is, don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Talk to God. Talk to him as long as you need to. Yeah. If you're mad, talk to God. A lot of times we think we should go to God when we're happy. No. If you're mad, he's the first person you need to talk to. And stay there until you're not mad, before you go talking to anybody else. He says, tell him what you need and then just thank him for all that he's done. Why does the writer tell us to do this? Because when I go to God, and you have to understand, when the writer's writing, the implication is that I was upset about something. I was worrying about something, because the writer says, don't worry about anything, right? So what happens is, it's going to be hard to be mad and thank God for things. Think about it. You could be as mad as you want. I want you right now, just in your mind, think about something good God's done for you. You thinking about it? Okay, can you think about something else God's done for you? You thinking about it? Is there something else you could think about God's done for you? And the more you think about the goodness of God and how good he's been to you, all those emotions of anger and all those other, they kind of settle down because, watch this, because when you begin to thank God and get in his presence, all that stuff has to go away. So the next time you get angry, before you, everybody say pray first.
Pray first.
Yeah. So before you get on social media,
pray first.
Before you text that person back, before you go off on that person at the red light because it turned green and they already hitting the horn, yeah, you got to, road rage is a real thing. But learn how to pray first and watch God do things in your life. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Believers are praying all over the building. I know a few of you all have to leave, and so if you have to leave, please, by all means, do that. But if everyone else could please stay seated. Father, we thank you for the harvest, that none of the harvest is lost, in Jesus' name. And while heads are bowed and eyes are closed and believers are praying all over the building and online, maybe you're either in this room or online and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity. Jesus is the absolute best thing that ever happened to me, and I know he'll be the best thing that ever happened to you. The Bible teaches us in Romans 10 and 9 that if we'll just confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. It goes on to say, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let me break all that down for you. It's real simple. All that means is you have to know that God sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you're willing to repent of your sins. And that word repent is not a hard word. That word repent is a real easy word. It just means that I was heading in the wrong direction, doing the wrong things, but I came to the knowledge of his love, and I decided to make a U-turn and start doing the right thing. The Bible says that every man that comes to Christ, he's a new creature, a new creation, that old things are passed away, and behold, all things become new. So maybe you need to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you need to rededicate your life to the Lord. You're on the wrong road, and now you realize, man, I need to get back on the right road. Well, God is not mad at you. He's not upset with you. It's the furthest thing from the truth. God loves you so very much. Maybe you're a Christian in this room or online, and you just need to ask God to forgive you about things. And we all do, including me, the pastor. Sometimes we get upset. Sometimes we say something that we shouldn't say or just whatever. And thank God that there is a clause in the covenant that we have with him that says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So repentance doesn't put you at the back of the line. It just puts you back in line. It just puts you back in a place where God can prosper you. And so this is what maybe you're looking for a good church home. I believe the church you go to and the word you hear makes a difference. And so in a moment, we're going to pray for those that want to give their lives to Jesus, want to rededicate their lives, want to repent. But if you want to join our church, you say, well, Pastor, how do I do that? It's real simple. This connection card that I talked about at the beginning of the service, that you can check off the box for committing your life to Christ, renewing your commitment to Christ, and also joining our ministry. And so it's that simple. You got it. And I believe that every person should be a part of a good Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church that's going to teach them the word of faith to help them overcome every obstacle so they can live a victorious life. And I want you to know it's the will of God for you to live a victorious life, but you have to do your part. You have to get connected to a church. You have to be there consistently so you can hear the word over and over and over, so you can have community. And when you do those things, it begins to shape your life. And so this is what I want to do. I want to pray for everyone in the room and online that says, Pastor, that's me. I'm not saved, but I need to be. Or I need to rededicate my life. Or I'm a Christian and I just need to repent about some things. So when you're praying for others, Pastor, I need you to include me in that prayer. I want everyone to pray this prayer together with me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. Oh, holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now, Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord, and I'll always serve him. Father, we thank you for what you've done. We seal it now to the day of redemption. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a big hand praise in the room and online.